The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Our verse for Vacation Bible School this year is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And then after we read that verse, we're going to use several verses out of the book of Ephesians today, in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 5. So the King James Version of 2 Peter 1 verse 3 said, "According to his divine power, he has given unto all of us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to his glory and virtue." The New American Standard, which is a version I use most all of the time, says that by his divine power he's granted to us everything. King James says all things. It says everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to his own glory and excellence. The Holman Christian Standard, which is the version that will be used by Bible school and the children will be memorizing, is his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Well, this is a great verse, and it reminds us so many truths about our relationship with God. That he has given us everything that is required to be able to live godly and to have life in this world. It comes through Christ. Now, that's certainly true of our roles as fathers. Folks, you know, the point I'm going to be making today, and I'll state it here and then do it again, you know, as we get to the end, that whatever we need to be Christian fathers and Christian husbands and to live to the fullness of our lives as men in this world, God has given us everything we need to be able to do that. Now, that's true, you understand, ladies as well, okay? But I preach to the ladies on Mother's Day. Now, today, I preach to the fathers. But God has given us, you know, everything we need to be able to live the Christian life. One of the things, I used to do a lot more counseling than I do now. Because used to, young couples, they always came to the preacher and came for counseling before they got married. Now then they just move in with each other and, you know, go ahead and start without any real counseling. It's a move in our culture and our society. But I'll tell you, but one of the things that I concentrated on in marital counseling is that, you know, that men and women have different needs. And God created us in such a way that we complement each other and that we meet the needs of each other. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 33 gives, I think, an example of two the needs of both men and women. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Paul has been writing about the relationship between husbands and wives. He said that what man is to be the head of the wife, and he is to be the head as Christ is the head of the church. So you can't leave out part of that. You know, I knew a young preacher when I was in a college who had a girlfriend, and he used to say, "I'm the head of the family. You get up and get me a Coke. You get up and do this, and you get up and do that." Folks, he left out the last part of that verse, which says we're to be the head of our wives as Christ is the head of the church. Now, how much did Christ love the church? He loved the church enough that he died for the church. He gave his life for the church. He suffered for the church. So if you're going to be the head of your wife, folks, that means you have to give your life to her. Everything you are has to be given away, and she becomes more important than you yourself because you have chosen that role and God has given you that role as the head of the church. Then the wife is supposed to be submissive to her husband. And you know, I've had women get mad when I say that and preach that. But folks, that's not me. That's God. Okay? God said that. Now, but I ask you the question, why would you be disturbed by being submissive to the man who loves you like Christ loved his church? who has given his life away for you, who would die for you, who would suffer for you, who puts you up on a pedestal more important than anything else in his life. Why would you have a problem being submissive to that kind of man? That's what God says. And verse 33 says this, Ephesians 5, nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife as himself. And his wife must see to it that she respects her husband. You realize that two of the major primary needs of men and women are met in those verses. You know, as a man, the head of the home is to place the primary spiritual leadership. His wife is to be submissive to that. The man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. So that means that if he loves his wife as Christ loved the church, that means that he will meet the greatest needs in his wife's life. And one of the primary ones is security. Tell you something. Women need security. Now, I know that we live in a society where marriages have fallen apart. Many women are out on their own, and many of them are totally independent in our world today. But deep inside the heart of every woman that I've ever met, they need a sense of security. Now, where does that security come from in a relationship and in a marriage? It comes from the fact that the husband who chooses to serve Christ, honor Christ, and love them above everything else has provided a place for them, and he's going to take care of them even at the cost of his own life. That provides security for the woman, and her needs are met. The wife is then to be submissive to her husband. And this verse of scripture says, and to respect their husband. Now, folks, I'm telling you, that's a revelation from God. You want to know what man's greatest need is? What men need today? What they really want out of life? Respect, self-worth. Ronnie Floyd has written several books on prayer and fasting, and he wrote one called The Champion, Being a Champion for the Lord, addressing primarily to men. He said he's observed several things in men that they need. They need a sense of worth, sense of identity, satisfying career, a good relationship with his wife, his children who love him, and a sense of community. Now, he said they're going to find that sense of community somewhere, either in a bar room or a club or a lodge or somewhere else. But, of course, the best place to find that sense of community is in the church. That's why every man needs a church. He's going to have one of his needs met by simply being in church, men. And men today want to avoid church, and they, you know, like a plague. And I tell you, they miss out on having their own needs fulfilled because they won't be in church. Church provides for what they need in our hearts and life. It helps to provide for proper guidance and relationships and understanding who we are and our self-worth and respect. And so, men, when you become who you're supposed to be in Christ, you will meet your wife's greatest need. And women, when you recognize that in the man and he is striving to live for Jesus more than anything else in the world, and you respect him for that and love him for that and submit to his spiritual leadership, you will meet his greatest need, that of respect and sense of self-worth. Now, most of us fail in achieving all those things in our life, and I stand here today with a broken heart because I'm not sure that I've been the kind of father I needed to be because my kids aren't where they need to be. I don't know how I could have changed much of what I did, but everybody has to make their own choices and whatever. But there's a sense, we have that sense of failure and why. And I think sometimes it's because we fail to realize that if we're going to accomplish these ideals, it happens only through a miracle. It's not something we can produce through our own self-effort. So what is it that makes the difference? So here's the truth. In order for us to make a difference in this life, God must make a difference in our lives. The difference we make in this world is totally related to the miracle God has made in our lives through Jesus Christ. The difference you're going to make in the life of others will be can never be greater than the miracle which God has made in your life through Jesus Christ. In order for us to be everything we want and need to be as a man and as fathers in this world, we must understand that it is dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing else more important. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 said, I can do all things through him or through Christ who strengthens me. Our spiritual success in the Christian life and in all things depends upon us building a vital, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, ladies, that same truth is true for you too, okay? You can't be what you're supposed to be until you build a vital, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is absolutely essential for all of us in our understanding. But our success as Christian men and fathers is not going to happen by our self-effort, by joining the church, by being baptized, by living good and responsible lives, by paying our bills, or by being a hard worker. And, you know, it just doesn't accomplish that way. You know, we'll do those other things when we get right with Jesus. Okay? But we're going to find that when we determine that our first priority is our personal relationship with Jesus and then begin to take some appropriate steps to carry out that determination, then we'll have what we need to be able to live the way God wants us to live. You know, so we make it our priority to have a personal relationship with Christ, to grow in that relationship with Christ, committed to grow in that relationship with Christ, and then we take the appropriate steps, whatever they may be, in order to keep that commitment. Prayer, Bible study, worship, those things are the very bottom things of essentials that we need to do. God will lead us to do the other things that we need to do. And so as he leads us, we choose, because Jesus has first place in our life, to be obedient to what he asks us to do. And so we trust him and follow him. The most important thing, though, in the life of every man and father is to make sure of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the one who can make the difference in your life. In our text, Jesus says that he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He gives us everything that is required for us to live life and to live godly. That's not the only place we find that in the scripture. Colossians chapter 1 says, in verse 27 and 28, it says, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of his glory and his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. In Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10 says, in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That is, Jesus is 100% God. Everything you need to know and understand about God, you're going to find in Jesus. He's completely God. And it says, and in him, we have been made complete. Holman Standard says that we have been filled up with him, made complete in Christ. And he is the head over all rule and all authority. Folks, God has given us everything we need to be what we're supposed to be in this world. I'm not sure we understand or can possibly understand everything God's done for us. But, we can claim his promise that he's given us everything required to live life and to live it godly. You know, he's made us complete. He's filled us up with his very presence and who he is. Do we really understand who we are in Christ? These truths are truths for both men and women, every person in Christ. We don't understand who we are in Christ. I mean, we could go on and list hundreds of things the Scripture says, but let me mention a few things the Scripture says to us this morning that we are his in Christ. The question is, how can we make a difference in this world, and how can we a better father and a husband and a Christian in this world, realize that we've been given everything in Christ? First of all, he's transformed us, it says. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and behold, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You don't have to be the same. If you've been saved, you're not the same old person you were. He's given us a new nature. We've been transformed by that nature. One of the greatest examples in Scripture is the life of Apostle Paul. He was a hatred of Christianity, destroying them, trying to bring them to destruction. And yet when he met Jesus, God changed his life radically until the point that he became the preacher and the great missionary of the first century. You know, God transforms our lives. But then not only does he transform us, but let me tell you something. God gives us the ability to live triumphantly for him. You might want to write it down. 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. So Paul writes and says, but thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. You hear what he said? He always leads us in triumph in Christ. And he manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. You know, I got amazed when I read that verse, and I don't know if I had been a part of me, but this week it just kind of jumped out at me and spoke to me. You know, what it says, we are triumphant in Christ. We are victors in Christ all of the time. And because of that, he said, what God has really done for us is that he has changed us in such a way because of the transforming work of the power of Christ that when we go into the world, we're like a sweet aroma to the world who will see Christ in us and recognize that life can be different and they can live to the fullest of their ability. We can live in victory that way. That's the promise of God because we've been transformed and we have been triumphant in life. God has made us that way, you know. And then we have received a heavenly transfer. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, one of the great verses of Scripture, it says, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Verse 22 says, and now he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Realize what it is? We who outside of Christ were under the dominion of Satan, all we could do was our best effort. We could work, we could strive. We could do all the right things so that society looks upon us basically as good people. But ultimately, we are under the dominion and the power of Satan. But what Christ has done when we come to know him and trust him as our Savior, he has lifted us out of the kingdom of darkness, out from under the dominion and the domination of Satan, and he has given us a new position. Now we are under the domination of Christ. We have a new kingdom. We can live within the kingdom of God. Folks, that sets us free to be everything God wants us to be. There's nothing that can bind us. We now are because we're saved, we have the ability to live under the domination and the power of Jesus Christ. And because we have a new position in Christ, we no longer have to be controlled by the flesh. We no longer are slaves to sin and to Satan. We can consider ourselves indeed to be dead unto sin and alive unto God because he has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and Satan into the kingdom of God and his holy light. Folks, I'm telling you, he's transformed our lives. He's given us a triumphant life. He's transformed us, you know, into a new kingdom, the heavenly kingdom of God. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, a great verse of Scripture. And actually, in Ephesians, it begins with in verse 3 with one sentence that runs all the way down through chapter and verse 13. It's one sentence, 14. From 3 to 14 in the Greek is one sentence, but it's just a continual outflow of what God has done for us in Christ. Now, verse 4 says he has chosen us. Well, now, verse 3 says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and he's done so in heavenly places. That is, he has given us a new position, and now he's put us in heavenly places. We don't have to live in the earthly realm anymore because he's given us already. It is ours to possess. See, these are things that not only has God done for the future, they're things that he has already done and they're ours for the present. Right now, these are truths for us. He's blessed us in heavenly places. Then it says he chose us before the foundation of the world. We didn't have to choose God. He chose us. We would not know God unless God has spoken to our hearts and drew us to himself. In verse 5, he says he's adopted us as his sons through Christ Jesus. Well, I think about that. We talk about Father's Day, and the whole, and our Heavenly Father, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the God of all gods, the God of all power, the God who has given us everything, is the God who's adopted us into his family. And folks, we can look up and cry out unto him, as Romans 8 says, Abba Father, Papa, I come to you. You know, and we can cry out unto him. We can go and sit into the lap of God, and we can enjoy all the things that God has given us because he's adopted us into his family. And then it says in verse 7, he's redeemed us. Our sin had created in us a debt we couldn't pay. He paid the debt, and he redeemed us and set us free from it. Also says in that same verse that through his blood we have forgiveness of our sins. We don't have to hang on to those old sins and those old failures and the places in which we have failed to serve God and live for God. Why? Because in the power of Jesus, he has forgiven us and set us free from all the penalty of that sin. We are set free. Jesus took that penalty when he died on the cross. That's the whole idea of this verse. Verse 9 then says he's made known to us the very mystery of his will. You want to know how to live? You want to know what God wills for your life? Or you know, there's ways to find out. You know, one way, you can trust the word of God. You can believe God's word. You can begin to follow it and to obey it. That's always his will. There's never a time when God is wrong. There's never a time when God is going to will you to do something that is not already cleared by his word. His word is always right. Never a question. You know, if you're struggling with something that the Bible says is wrong, folks, give it up. Because God's will is always right. I mean, there's no debate about it whatsoever. One of the things we happened at the Southern Baptist Convention Monday night, we got to the pastor's conference Sunday night after we left here. We made it, got to the pastor's conference, and Lotta got killed 2 or 3 times in downtown Dallas. Worst place I've ever driven. I've been driven in San Francisco, San Diego, Las Vegas, you know, some of the biggest cities in the world, but I'm telling you, if God's willing, I'm not going downtown Dallas again. It was horrible. But we got there Sunday night, and Tony Evans brought the end of the message, okay? And he's talking about, you know, our world is in such a mess, you know, and so, you know, and he gave the illustration of a mental hospital who decided how they were going to set mental patients free if they were well enough to go home. They would go into a bathroom, turn on the faucet and water, and let it run over the sink and run all over the floor. Then they'd tell that patient to get a mop and to go into the bathroom and to clean up the mess. In a few minutes, they'd come back. If the faucet was still running and he was just mopping up water, then he wasn't well enough to go home yet. Because in order to fix the mess, you've got to cut the faucet off. See? Now, there's no way we're going to clean up the mess until we cut the faucet off. You know? And so then he began to preach about some of those issues. One of the things he preached about was racial reconciliation. Now, you see, this is the number one black preacher in America. And he said, I can tell you how to fix the racial problem in America. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. He tells a story of Paul calling down Peter and Barnabas because they, you know, they were sitting with the Gentiles. When the Jewish brethren showed up, they got embarrassed and got up and went and sat with the Jews. And Paul called them down publicly and refuted them and said, folks, what you need to do is to be Christian and love everybody and treat everybody the same. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And he said, I can fix a racial problem in 2 minutes. Just commit yourself to be obedient to Christ. It'll be over with. Absolutely true. That's true about everything. I'm telling you, folks, if we want to fix the mess our world is in, how are you going to do it? You cut the faucet off. How do you cut the faucet off? You make a commitment to be obedient to God in all things, in our attitude, our life, our actions. We give it to God above everything else. We put him first and put him in the priority place in our life. That'll cut the faucet off. When you get the faucet cut off, then you can fix the mess. Because I'm telling you, Jesus Christ and God has given us what He's given us, what the mystery of His will, to make known the mystery of His will. We can know what God wants us to do. We can know it through His Word. We can know it through the leadership and the presence of His Holy Spirit, which will never contradict His Word. But all those things are true. And then He goes on to say in verse 11, He's given us an inheritance. We look forward to that day when we're going to leave this world and our inheritance is going to be out there. Folks, our inheritance is not in this world. We worked so hard to get our hands on all this stuff. You know, and I told somebody the other day, I got so much fishing stuff, it's an absolute sin. I hadn't used it in 4 years. You know, we accumulate and gather all this stuff and more and more. And that's not where our inheritance lies. Our inheritance lies beyond here, folks, into eternity. And we ought to be living so that we can experience that great inheritance out there in heaven. And then not only that, but He said, because of our salvation, we responded to the message of salvation. He has sealed us in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is, the Holy Spirit has come and has pledged Himself to say, I have sealed you into your eternal relationship with Me, and there's no way that it can ever be broken. Folks, I'm telling you, those are things that we have already right now that are our experiences if we commit our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. We have been given all things required by God to live life and to live godly. So the question is, how do we make a difference in this world? That's Christian men. How does that difference happen? How can we be a better father? How can we be a better Christian? How can we be a better leader within the church? How can we be a better wife or whatever we may be, wherever in our position? I'll tell you how. We've been given everything we need in Jesus. So you build a vital, personal relationship with Jesus Christ to be obedient to Him in all things. And we never outgrow that responsibility. Because of age and other things, we may have to reshape the direction we're going at times, but wherever we are, we continually to pursue a vital, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way we make a difference. So the bottom line is this. First of all, you must be a Christian. The most important thing of any man or father, or for that matter, any other person, is to make sure, as I've already said, of your personal relationship with Jesus. Has Jesus made a difference in your life? If you're not a Christian, there's no way you can live the way God wants you to live in the world. You can't do it in your own ability and strength. You can't be the man God wants you to be. You can't be the father God wants you to be. You can't be the wife God wants you to be until you have built that vital personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have it, that's where you have to start. There is no other solutions. That's the beginning place. That's the bottom line. That's the foundation. Without that, you can't move forward. Has to start there. Then I believe that we must be worshiping. That is, we submit to Him. We submit to His control because He is now our Lord. And we now live under His dominion. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and Satan so that we live under a new dominion. So now what do? We submit to His Lordship. We submit to Him, and part of that is worship. We submit to do His will. His will is, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Why do God want us to assemble together? Because deep in our hearts, one of the needs we have is for communion. It is for relationship. We build relationships within the church. We build relationships with other Christians. We're not going to find it out in a bar room. We're not going to find it in some pledge and some lodge or some club or, you know, some fishing group or whatever. The place we're going to find real satisfaction and communion is in the church, where God has brought us together as a family of believers and where He serves as our Father. And so we worship Him. And as we worship Him, then we do everything we can to strive to live so that we are continually improving in our relationship with God and in our desire for the things of God every day within our lives. We strive continuously to be a better father. If you have a bulletin, I had to put a handout in the bulletin that has listed on it some right desires. Desires that help us to mature as God's people. You know, that I may know Christ and delight to walk in Him. That I may know God's word and obey it. That I may seek Christ with my whole heart and become like Him. I may use of God to witness for Him. That I may be pleasing to God, to Christ, regardless of my circumstances. And that I may cultivate, though that word's spelled wrong, got a nine in there. But I may cultivate an attitude of joy and gratitude in what God is doing for my life. That I may have confidence and joy in how God has decided my place or my circumstances, whatever they may be, how God has decided to put me. He can use me best for His glory. That I may serve others rather than being served. And that I may look forward to heaven as my eternal home and live and bless with Jesus Christ. Those are just some of the examples of some of the things we need to desire. And if we desire those things, we'll strive continuously to be a better father and a better man and a better Christian in our lives. Has God made a difference in your life? If He hasn't, how do you expect to make a difference in the world in which you live? First thing that has to happen is commit your life to Jesus Christ. And to say, I'm going to live for Him now. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. If you're here today without Christ, I'm telling you, that's where it starts. You can't be what God wants you to be until you first come to Christ. Then you can begin to work on the things. And God will give us guidance and give us help. And He will enable us to be able to live the way He wants us to live, because He has given us all things, everything that's required of life and godliness. And as God has spoken to your heart this morning and to your voice about something you need to do, personal or specific, a decision you need to make, trust Christ, folks, this is the day to make it. This is the day to begin. Do you know Jesus? He's the only one that can make a difference in your life. Commit your life to Him this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the message of Your word, the challenge to live for You above everything else. And we pray now that You would speak to our hearts individually, and You would draw us to Yourself so that we would commit ourselves to You to be saved and to be obedient. We're grateful You've given us all things we need to do that. Draw us to Yourself now, and may You be honored. In Jesus' name. As we stand together, and as we sing our moment of invitation, if God has spoken to your heart, there's a decision you need to make, then now's the time. If God's speaking to you, it is always right to respond when God speaks. Now's the time.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.